I felt with DD. Dude, that was... I don't know. How are you guys... Can somebody just... How are you feeling watching that? That was strange. I didn't even... Here's what's funny is my intention in that was for it to be funny, but it was really kind of weird. Which is funny, too. But, you know, what we're actually going to be... What we're talking about tonight is spiritual maturity. Wow. And I think, you know, the illustration is a good point to say how inappropriate and uncomfortable is it to see some full-grown men acting like babies? Wow. And imagine how strange off it would be if they weren't acting, but that's actually just what they were still like. Would you say there's something wrong there?
Yeah.
And so we're talking about spiritual maturity because when you become a Christian, when you're baptized, you're a baby Christian. You're reborn, born again into Christ. And so the Bible refers to it as infancy in Christ, but we're not meant to stay babies, we're meant to mature. And not to be somebody who's 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 as a Christian acting like somebody who's a newborn infant in the faith. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
What does it look like? It looks like what you just saw. We might not always see it that way, but that's the way it is, right? And so that's not who we want to be. That's not who you want to be. Do you want to be somebody who stays a baby Christian?
No.
No, do you want to be somebody who matures in your faith and becomes strong, becomes grown up, becomes deeply rooted in your faith? Yes. So tonight we're going to talk about spiritual maturity. The main two verses we're going to look at are Ephesians 4, and then later in a little bit is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to have a lot of other scriptures in here and a handful of points and practicals, and so I'd encourage you to jot stuff down so you can remember it, look back at it, talk to each other about it, which hopefully we'll have some time to do at the end here. But in Luke 8, verse 14, in that chapter, Jesus talks about how there's four different types of soils, three that don't work out well and one that does. One of the ones that don't work out well, in Luke 8, 14, it says, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." So one of the seeds that doesn't make it, one of the people who becomes a Christian but does not make it, is the person who does not mature. And so maturing as a Christian is paramount to you staying a Christian. If you stay a baby Christian, you won't stay a Christian. People will walk away from God, be choked in their faith, the Bible says, due to worries in life overwhelming them. The deceitfulness of riches and pleasure, and if they don't mature. Right in there with it. So it should be taken seriously. Man, I need to mature in my faith. You know, if you don't mature, you won't make it. Like I said, when you're baptized, you come out born again, a baby Christian. And so we need to grow. We need to mature. And so that should be a conviction of every disciple, that you're always growing. You're always repenting. You're always learning. You're always maturing. In Colossians 1:28, it says, "He," being Jesus, "is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." And so maturity in Christ is the goal. It's the goal of our faith, is that we become a Christian, but then we mature. And we become a mature Christian, more like Jesus, fully mature. You know, some translations will actually use the word perfect in place of the word mature as a translation of the Greek word there. Wow. And So the goal is to all become mature, more like Jesus. And the Greek word here for perfect, it's not the idea of like literally without any blemish or fault or mistake whatsoever. It's more this idea of whole and complete and mature, but a wholeness, a sturdiness, a completeness. Yeah. And so not perfect as in there's literally never any mistake or flaw, not flawlessness. That's another word, which God is flawless and only God is flawless. But we could be perfect by being mature and by becoming more complete in our faith. You know, we could think about examples of this. I think you could say of somebody, you know, he's a perfect student. And does that mean that they have literally gotten 100 on everything their whole life, or that they always ask the question exact? No. But in general, it means that the components that go into somebody being an effective, successful student, they ace those things. They're at class every time. They do their homework on time. They study. when they don't know something, they ask a question. They get above average grades in all of their classes, right? So that's the person you could say, man, they're a perfect student. You know, so maybe they're not perfect in the sense of hundreds on everything, but they're perfect in their execution and their effort. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And being successful. So like we would say, he's a perfect student. If you thought about somebody like that, which there's men in this room like that. You know, I think about Jordan Jones as an example of an incredible student. You know, there's a lot of men in this room that are excellent students. Let me ask you this. If you knew somebody was a mature student, man, that person is a mature student. Would you worry about a mature student showing up for class?
No.
Doing their homework?
No.
Do you worry about a mature student studying or not? You know, do you worry about a mature student asking for help if they don't know something? No, because they're mature. So let's think about disciple maturity, spiritual maturity, discipleship maturity, however you want to say it. You know, let's think about Jesus as our example. Would you worry about Jesus teaching someone to be a disciple or being on the mission?
No.
Like, I wonder if he's going to do that or not, or how he's going to do with that. No. Would you worry about Jesus helping a brother out who needed help with something? Would you worry about Jesus having his time with God or not? Man, I hope Jesus has his quiet time this morning. Let me follow up and ask him. No, you wouldn't worry about that. Would you worry about Jesus giving in to temptation?
Nope.
Would you ever worry about Jesus considering walking away from God? Would you worry, man, I hope Jesus isn't thinking about quitting or giving up. Now, Jesus was tempted in every way that we were, but he was also spiritually mature. And so these were things that although he maybe was tempted with them like we're tempted, he never gave in to them. And that's what we're aiming for as well, is that deep maturity in our faith. That we have that steadfastness like Jesus did, that reliability in our relationship with God. And so as you kind of look at your own life right now, would you say that you are a mature Christian or that you are an infant Christian? And I think most men in our ministry are baby Christians, right? We baptized 15 guys last year. Most of them are in this room right now if they haven't moved or gone somewhere else at this point. So almost every guy in our ministry is 1, 0, 1, 2, maybe 3 years old spiritually, except a small handful might have become Christians and teens. Ed, how many years are you?
Six and a half.
So six, and then you got some campus shepherds in here who put us to shame. And so, you know, but for the most part, I think you gotta be aware of, like, where am I at? Am I, and it's not just about how much time has elapsed either, right? Like, it's not just... That means something for sure, right? How much time has elapsed, you learn from that. But it's not just automatically equated that all three-year-old Christians are in the same place of maturity,
yeah.
Right? So time is an element, but it's not everything. And so it's good to know, well, where am I at? Am I mature? But I think what's really important to ask is, am I maturing?
Right?
And so knowing, okay, I'm not mature yet. I'm still a baby Christian, a new Christian, but am I growing? Am I becoming mature? I think that's really where you want to be. We're supposed to mature. You know, the church is called a body, and we're all parts of it. Each one of us is a part of the body. Imagine if your human body, if some parts of your body matured and others didn't. You know, like imagine somebody who over the last 20 years, their arms and legs grew, but not their head. You know, or their face, they still did. Well, some guys have still got that baby face, right? But imagine your torso and your head matured and grew older and older, but your arms and legs just stayed baby legs and arms, right? It's not, the church, every part is supposed to grow. Every part is supposed to mature. That's part of each part doing its work. And so it's important for you to mature for you, but also for the church, it's important that you mature. The church needs you to mature. You need you to mature to be healthy. So Ephesians 4, you guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16, it says, "It was he, being God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead of all that, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is one of my favorite, most used, go-to passages in the Bible. Partially because God has called me into a role of leadership and I am an evangelist. And so a lot of this is for me to go to see what my role is. I'm here to equip God's people for works of ministry and to help disciples to mature and to become more like Jesus. But there's a lot to look at in here, even for me as a disciple, of what I should be aiming for, striving for. And a big part of it is maturity. It talks about until every part becomes mature. And then it goes on to talk a little bit about what infancy means and why it's dangerous to stay an infant Christian and the danger in that. And then the benefit of when every part is growing and working together. So the goal is to one day no longer be infants, but instead to be mature disciples of Jesus. And like I said earlier, kind of this doesn't happen automatically. It happens intentionally. Right, we'll talk more in a little bit about how to mature, some ways the Bible gives us to help us to mature. Time going by is most certainly a variable, but it's not something that just automatically happens. It's something we have to choose to do and to go after. I want to mature, I want to grow. Just like a baby doesn't automatically become a mature, full-functioning adult in society, right? There's a lot that goes into it. School, parenting, right? Life experiences and tons of other stuff that goes into somebody coming out a mature adult. It's the same with spiritual growth. Is it something you've got to be intentional about going after? So what I want to give you, some will be more in depth, some will be super brief, and this is not exhaustive, but I want to give you just five marks of maturity. And a lot of them come from this verse and then the Hebrews one, but what are kind of five marks of maturity? And I'm going to point these out as things for you to use to kind of evaluate your own maturity. Well, how am I with that? Am I mature in that yet? Or am I maturing in that yet, right? And also as kind of five things for you to focus on growing in so you can become mature. And after we go through those, I'm just going to give you a handful of things the Bible says helps you to mature and to grow in those things. Does that sound good? So I've got all of them start with C's, all right? So that can help you remember it. So five marks of maturity: conviction, contributing, connected, competent, and coaching. All right, those are five C's, five marks of maturity. First one is conviction. I'll go through them all. Conviction, right? A big part of maturity is that you own your discipleship. That you take ownership of your relationship with God. Whose relationship with God is it? It's your relationship with God. It's your lordship. It's your discipleship, not somebody else's. You made a decision. You made a vow to God that Jesus is Lord, right?
Yeah.
You need to own that.
Yeah.
And the truth is you should care more about your own salvation than anyone else does. Mm. You should care more that you're right with God than anyone else cares that you're right with God. Yeah. And so you fight harder for your faith than others fight for your faith. And there's always times that we need other people to fight for us.
Yeah.
But the overarching element in our life, if we're mature, is look, at the end of the day, I take ownership for my discipleship. Mm. You know, a newborn, a baby's parents care more about that baby being alive than the baby even does themselves.
Right.
Baby doesn't even know it has life. It's just there living, right? And so in infancy, it kind of makes sense sometimes for, I'll tell you guys, as a ministry leader, as an older brother in the faith, I worry about baby Christians.
Yeah.
I get fired up when somebody gets baptized, and the next day I'm equally worried about them. You know, because I'm like, I know Satan's going to go after this person, and I know people are super susceptible for those first couple of years. And so sometimes a parent is more concerned about the health of a baby than the baby even is of itself.
Right.
And so that's appropriate, but what's not appropriate is for it to stay that way forever. At some point, you've got to come into your own and say, I need to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And actually get to the point where you turn around and you take care of your parents one day. And you become the one that's giving and taking care of others, right? And so, you know, part of being a baby Christian and moving on to maturity and being mature is really owning your discipleship, owning your salvation and your walk with God, and that you take responsibility for that. Ephesians 4:14 said that infants are easily swayed and tossed around by the waves, easily influenced. And so the opposite of that is what it means to be mature. You know, if you're mature, then you stand your ground and have conviction. You have deep convictions. You're not easily swayed. You're not easily tossed around. You're not easily led astray or quickly start to think maybe something else is true besides your faith, or but you really are deeply rooted and you have conviction about what you believe. And it's important to be self-aware of the dangers of being a baby Christian. You've got to know, I'm a baby Christian. Right. That means I'm vulnerable. I'm susceptible. I could easily be led into temptation, so I need to be careful. I'm a baby. I could easily be led to just think that maybe the decision I made was wrong, or that maybe, you know, as a younger Christian, there's things other people say or thoughts or different things like that. And you got to know, as a young Christian, I got to be careful about things other people say because I'm vulnerable, right? I'm susceptible. I'm an easy target. And so that's why it's important. And even your own thoughts can be there kind of coming against the decision that you made. And you got to know, whoa, I'm a baby Christian. I need to move past this, but also be aware that's part of it. Yeah. And so you don't give it too much weight or seriousness, but you put it in its proper place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I do want to say we'll always need people in there with us deeply, but we should mature to where we are really kind of taking ownership of our own discipleship. Yes, we need people, but we also really make sure we're leading our own walk with God ourselves, right? And taking responsibility for that. You want to get to the place where it doesn't always take someone reminding you to do the right thing for you to do it. But you do it because of your own walk with God. Right? So when it comes to things like confessing your sin, you don't have to be asked, you do it. Right? When it comes to righteousness and righteous choices, you don't have to be provoked or prodded to do that. You choose to do that. When it comes to reading and getting time in the Word and in prayer with God regularly, you go after that. You don't need to be asked or reminded. You know, getting advice about stuff, being outward focused, being tied into relationships, that these are things that you're working towards not needing to be pushed to do, but you're pushing yourself to do. Because you know I need it, and I take ownership of my walk with God. You know, I think one of the, obviously the Bible says, those of you who are standing firm, be careful you do not fall. And so there can never be this naivety that, oh, I would never fall away, right? This naive...
Right.
We're all susceptible, right? And no matter how long you've been a Christian or how mature you are, there's a susceptibility there. But I do think in maturity, there is a good way to have this conviction of, I will never leave God.
Yeah.
And I will never leave His church. And not in a naive way, but in a conviction way.
Right.
That you do have this deep conviction that come what may, I'm sticking it out. I'm staying here. You know, I remember... just being a young Christian myself and just really developing that mentality of, I'm going to be a Christian for the rest of my life, no matter what.
Yeah.
And obviously not in ignorance or naivety. I know that if I'm not careful, I could end up doing that. But from a place of love for God and ownership, it's this, I'm never leaving God. And really having that deep conviction that comes from the Bible, right? And that this is really what you stand on and what you believe. And so conviction is a huge mark of maturity. Some other words that go with that, conviction, character, really having deep character,
right.
Commitment, being committed to God, consistency, right? That you're not blown all around, tossed up and down, but you're consistent. You stay the course, you stay focused. I think a big part of that is not letting our emotions run our Christianity, but really our convictions run our Christianity. Right? And when we're immature spiritually, we have a good day, we're a good Christian. We have a bad day, we're a bad Christian.
Yeah.
And yet a mature Christian, good day or bad day, you do what pleases God because of your convictions, not because of how you're feeling or your emotions. So conviction, that was my longest one, but that's a huge mark of maturity, is that you own your discipleship and have deep conviction.
Wow.
A second one is contributing. A mature Christian, a mark of a mature Christian is contribution. Financial, but I just mean bigger than that. Contributing. That you're here to give. You're there to use your gifts, to do your part, to carry your weight. Right? That you're not just there to receive, you're there to give, right? And to really have a big impact. You know, a baby is very needy, right? Take my word for it. They need to be fed, burped, diaper changed, and everything else. They literally need everything done for them, right? And all of that's fine because they're a baby. It would be ridiculous to expect a baby to do any of those things for themselves.
Right.
You know, Tyler, change your own diaper. It's not happening. Eventually, yes. But, well, eventually we just get rid of it, right? But, so I do say all this with you got to give yourself a break as a baby Christian, right? But the focus is, am I growing? Am I maturing? You know, and I do think that we just got to look at our life and go, am I using the gifts God given me? And in the church, am I in a place where I'm starting to not just show up, but I'm showing and I'm giving. I'm making an impact. I'm encouraging others. If I have some gift or talent or dream, I'm going after using it. And I'm walking away having received, but I'm also walking away knowing that I've helped others to receive. And that's a huge part of what it means to be a mature Christian. You know, in Ephesians 4:16, it says the body grows as each part does its work. And so as you mature, you start to, you know, and honestly, it's awesome watching Bradley grow up and he's starting to carry some of his own weight. He can't take off his jacket all the way yet, but he can unzip it. You know, he can't tie his shoes, but he can put them on. And then I, you know, so it's like it's helpful to Chelsea and I in our household as he's starting to develop more of meeting his own needs. And then eventually it'll lead to him starting to actually help with things. And that's what we should be doing in the church is getting to a point where we're taking more and more care of ourselves and then even starting to be able to contribute. So a mark of maturity is contributing. How's that going for you? What are you contributing to and how can you start to contribute more? A third one is connected. Big mark of maturity is, are you connected? Are you tied in relationally? A mature Christian has strong relationships. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith. And in verse 16, it says, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows. And so we've got to be that body where every ligament, this all is in the context of instead of infancy. So when it talks about infancy, it says instead of that, this is what we should be. So part of being mature is being joined and held together, having close, tight relationships. Where you're there to be a support to others. You're a supporting ligament to others, and you've also got other people in your life that you are supporting ligament to. Yeah. Deep, interwoven relationships are a huge part of being a mature Christian and maturing as a Christian. You know, so would you say you have relationships in the church that are inseparable, that are supporting each other, where you support them, they support you? Being connected is a huge part of being mature. You guys with me still?
Yes, sir.
Cool. The next one is competent. And I mean this in terms of competent with wielding the word of God.
Come on,
you're competent at using this.
Yeah.
Competent means skilled, effective, able.
Come on,
and you're competent at using this to both help yourself and to help other people.
Yeah.
Part of being a mature Christian is you say, God gave me this sword and I use it well, right? I use this. I'm not just going through life blindly, but I'm using what he's given me. So a mature Christian uses the word of God well. Ephesians 4:14 said, not being blown around by every wind of teaching, right? So instead of being blown around by everything, you're holding tight to the word of God. That's a mature Christian. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what society says. What does God say? I don't care what I'm thinking. I don't care what that person's thinking. What is God thinking? That you really hold to the word of God, not just for yourself, but even for others. Hebrews chapter 5 is the other big, longer verse on maturity. Hebrews 5:12 says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that leads to death and faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Big part of being mature is knowing and being able to teach other people the word of God well. For yourself and for others. You know, and a big part of that is the elementary teachings aspect. How well do you know and how well are you able to teach the elementary teachings of Christianity? Faith in God. What it means to be a Christian, sin, the cross, repentance, baptism, eternity. These are among some of the things listed here of elementary teachings. And part of a mark of maturity is that you could teach someone how to become a Christian. That's a big part of being a mature Christian is you can help someone else become a Christian. You could sit down and use the scriptures to help someone. You're competent to make disciples. That's a big part of being a mature Christian. So you know that for yourself, but you're also learning to teach that for others. You know, I was so inspired to hear from Matt about Omar getting out on campus over there. And you know, Omar's hopping into a lot of studies, but then Omar hits up Matt and says, hey, I met this guy and he wants to study the Bible. And so Omar's got these Bible studies he's finding, he's leading that Matt's joining in on. And that's Omar maturing in his faith. He's saying, God sent me on a mission, and I'm not just there to be in the passenger seat. I'm there to really go with God and do this, right? And so he's going after learning how to help teach other people how to become a Christian. And that's something that all of us should be doing so that we could save more people. Right? We'll never cap the amount of people God wants to use us to save unless each part is learning to save others. Yeah. You know, imagine how many people we'd help become Christians if within a few months, every baptized person started leading those first couple Bible studies. Whoa. And then after a year or two, every disciple could teach someone how to become a Christian. We would save a lot more people. And that should be what we're aiming for, because that's what God is calling us to, is to mature, not just some, but to everyone, mature in their faith. And like I said, not just competent in the scriptures to teach others, but competent for yourself.
Right?
Right? That yes, you're learning the Bible well so that you could teach other people, but you're also learning it well so that you could be the best Christian you can be. It's great to get help from other people, and we need to do that, but the number one source we got to go to is the Word of God.
Right.
You know, you're following Jesus. This is where you get him. The Word became flesh, and Jesus is in flesh, left us, but he left us with the Word.
Wow.
So we follow Jesus through the Word of God. You know, a scripture that's helped me a lot and that I've read with Matt and with some of the other guys that I've gotten the opportunity to influence is Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Paul's saying his prayer here for them is that they would grow in love, and that love would drive them to grow in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they would be able to discern what is best and what would lead to purity and blamelessness as they follow Jesus. And so a big part of our maturity is that we would grow in our knowledge and depth of insight of the Bible, so that in our life as we go through things, we could decide and discern from the scriptures what's best. What's going to lead to a pure life, to a blameless life? That you're really learning to discern from the scriptures what's best to do with your life, to do in a situation that you're in, with something that you're going through or stuck with. That you're going to the scriptures to discern what is best here and what's going to most lead to me pleasing God and to doing what's right, what's going to be fruitful, what's going to be righteous, and what's going to make God happy with us, right? And so we're really looking in the scriptures to figure out, man, what does God say to do? What's best? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I do think babies do well with just some rules, you know, and not always having to understand them. You know, like for my kids, there's a lot of things we're telling them, just don't touch that. Don't do that, right? And over time, my plan is to help them understand more why. Why don't rip that out of his hands? And I don't fully expect Bradley to understand all the ins and outs of empathy and compassion right now. But he's got to understand this is wrong.
Right.
Right? Or at least know he's not supposed to do that or not touch this certain thing or whatever. And so I do think sometimes with baby Christians, and this is especially prevalent in campus ministry where most everyone is a baby Christian, it helps to have a good... things can be perceived as rules. And there's not always a good understanding of, well, why shouldn't I talk to a sister that way? Or why should I only go on double dates? Or why should I read my Bible in the morning instead of in the afternoon? Isn't it whatever? Or why should I be at Bible talk when I could share my faith this way instead? And I do think as a baby Christian, it's probably better just to gravitate towards trusting the advice of people that are more mature than you.
Yeah.
However, it's not good if over time you never start to understand for yourself why those things are the better or right thing to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm just pointing that out as just kind of an understanding that things might seem like rules to you because you're a baby Christian, and maybe that's as much as you could understand right now.
Right.
Right.
Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but what would be bad is if over time you don't dig into the Bible to really understand the thinking and the heart behind some of those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But a big part of maturity is becoming competent with the scriptures. That you're learning to go to the Bible to figure out what's right, what's best, what should I do, what's true, right? For decisions you make, for how you're going to process things that you're going through, right? Maybe you're going through a really difficult time and you're trying to gain perspective on what's God doing here? Why would he allow this to happen? Why am I going through this? That you're really learning to go to the Bible to answer those questions. A mature Christian relies on the Word of God to answer their questions and to make their decisions. So a mark of maturity is competent in the Word of God so that you could really let the Bible be what's guiding your process and your thinking for how you live and the decisions you make. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The last one is coaching. And I'll be quick on this, but he says here, by this time you ought to be teachers. Right? And a big part of being a mature Christian is that you're helping other people to grow. And so we need young Christians to mature so they could turn around and take care of more new baby Christians.
Right?
I think God is a responsible father of his family. And I don't think it would be wise necessarily to just dump a bunch of babies into a place that's not going to be able to take care of them. So I do think what can keep us from baptizing more people and from God bringing in the harvest could be a lack of maturity on the people that already are disciples. Are we growing? Are you growing so that you can be ready to take care of some new guy that we help become a Christian? Because if we don't have more people maturing so that they could turn around and take care of these new babies, then I don't know if we're going to get any new babies.
Right.
If we're going to have new brothers come to Christ until we mature in that way. And if we do, it's going to be rough. You know, we've got to mature. You've got to mature so that God can bless us with more people to take care of. And then they mature, and that's how we become a multiplying ministry. As you become a Christian, and then you become responsible for yourself, you take ownership, then you start to be able to be more responsible to help other people. And then that's how our ministry can really grow in a big way. So coaching, raising others up, being a support, being a good friend, being somebody to help disciple other people is a huge part of what it means to be a mature Christian. Does that make sense? Cool. I'll just skip the rest of that one. So, you know, those are five marks of maturity. There's certainly more. But a mature Christian is striving towards these things, is making progress in these things, is more times than not exhibiting these things, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking for conviction, that you own your discipleship, contributing, that you're doing your part, you're giving, and you're not just there for yourself, that you're connected, you've got close relationships, that you're competent, that you really know the word to teach it to others and to live by it yourself,
right.
And that you're coaching, you're helping other people and helping other people to grow in their faith. Those are five big marks of maturity. You know, I mentioned some of the dangers of immaturity. I hope you see those. I hope you see that there's a lot of blessings and benefit to being a mature Christian. And before I move on to quickly just give you a handful of ways to mature, I do want to say that not everything about being a baby Christian is bad.
Right.
There's actually a lot of things from baby Christians that we need to learn as you become an older Christian.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that you've got to hold on to. A few to mention. One is your initial appreciation.
Yeah.
You know that, man, you're close to your salvation. Appreciate that. And that after you've been a Christian 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you can lose your appreciation. And so as a baby Christian and as a mature Christian, we've got to learn from baby Christians, keep a high appreciation for the fact that you've been saved and for the life that you were saved from. And what God has done and worked in your life, your story, what God did for you, keep that.
Yeah.
Baby Christians tend to have incredible faith, right? Just this, God can do anything,
yeah.
You know, and we've got to imitate that in young new Christians as, man, just this, you know, maybe we've seen some defeats and stuff over time and that could hurt our faith.
Right.
Maybe we got to learn from young Christians just to have this God can do anything type of faith. Mm-hmm. Zeal, just that new Christian freshness of, you know, man, I want to do amazing things for God. I've got big dreams for the kingdom, and that we keep that zeal and don't become stagnant.
Yeah, right.
And then I just used the word, but that freshness of, you know, man, wow, the church is just so different than the world. And this is such an encouraging place to be. Instead of over time, after being a Christian for a while, you could start to become critical or take it for granted and just not have that freshness. I think those are some things that we need to learn from each other and from baby Christians and really never let go of. So I'm going to give you just some quick spiritual training exercises that mature you. And I'll say this, it takes all of these. You can't pick and choose some, right? It's not like you could just pick, I'll mature from that one, but not that one. All of these mature us in different ways. And so to become whole, we need all these different things at work. And again, this isn't exhaustive. And I'll give you some scriptures that you can read on your own time because we don't have enough time. So one big spiritual training exercise to mature is time and experience. It takes time. You know, and I've had to be told that, Rob, it takes 5 years to have 5 years experience. Right. You can't fast forward, right? And so I've thought before, man, I wish I was in the place this person was. And I've been told they've been doing it for 20 years. You've been doing it for 5 years. It takes time. You'll get there, you know? And so you just got to let time go by, but not empty time, experienced time. It's not just about, well, I'll lock myself in a closet and come out 20 years and be a mature Christian. It's not going to happen. Maybe some things you will have grown in. But, you know, for certain, it's not just about time going by. It's about you using that time to gain experience. Right? And so a big spiritual trainer is time and experience working together. That you're learning from your experiences. You're going after experiences. You're putting yourself out there to learn from things. Amen. New experiences. That you make mistakes, not on purpose, but you make them and then you learn from them, right? That baby Christians, we make a lot of mistakes. I look back at the first few months I was a Christian and honestly, it's like, what were you thinking? Like, I could tell you guys some stuff and it's like, you what? And it's just dumb stuff. But those are a lot of the things that help me make better choices later or help Matt make better choices later. So, you know, so don't make mistakes on purpose, but when you make them, use them, learn from them, don't waste them, right? So, and from good experiences, man, what's going well here? Learn from your experiences. I was watching Kung Fu Panda 3 with Bradley the other day. And the little wise guy, Shifu. Thank you. He said, if you only do what you can do, you'll never be more than you are. And I was like, there's a lot of wisdom right there. But if you only do what you feel like I can do that, then you'll never grow. You'll never be more than you are. You've got to put yourself out there for new experiences, right? You won't grow until you go. You gotta go out there for new experiences. So time and experience. The second thing to help you mature is more of an internal thing, but it's an eager desire, determination, and ambition to grow. That you're not just whatever about growing, but you have a deep earning to grow. You're like, man, I want to grow. I want to learn. I have a desire. I'm ambitious. Train me. Help me learn. I want to read books. I want to get in my Bible. I want to grow. Right? That we're really trying. We're ambitious to grow. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your faith. Not, right? Or something like that at the end of it. But it says crave pure spiritual milk. It talks about craving. Right? Like newborn babies crave. A big part of what's going to help you mature is being hungry for it. That you have a craving to absorb. That you've got a craving for pure spiritual milk. Bring it on. I want to grow. I want to learn. A third thing is really going after training from spiritual people in your life. Right? A big part of what's going to help you mature is going after advice, input, training, wisdom, question asking, walking with, all the different aspects of that from spiritual people in your life. Right? Ephesians 4 said God gave some to be these different leadership roles to help people mature. And so times that you get opportunity to learn from leaders like midweeks or Sundays or in fellowship, view those as opportunities to learn and to mature and to grow. But also the brothers that God has put in your life that, you know, in Hebrews 5, it says you need someone to teach you. Right? In Hebrews 5, it said you need someone to teach you. And so as a baby Christian, you need someone to teach you. And so you've got to have people in your life and whoever's discipling you, the campus shepherds in our ministry, the different brothers in your life that you're going to and you're going after question asking and advice seeking and what do you see in me? That's going to help you mature. A fourth thing is immersing yourself in the Word of God. I love in Hebrews 5 where it says that people who mature are those who by constant use of the word of God
right.
have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so one thing that's going to help you mature is constant use of the word of God. That you're constantly using it to train yourself to distinguish, yeah. discern what's good, what's evil, what's godly, what's not, what's right, what's wrong. You're getting in the Bible more and more, and that's going to mature you. That you're getting in the Bible every day. You're reading spiritual books. You're studying stuff out, memorizing stuff. That throughout the day, you're going back to the Word to help with things you're going through, decisions you're making. That you're really immersing yourself in the Word of God. You know, I was inspired to hear from Matt that our brother Hamil, where's Hamil at? Why can't I find Hamil? Oh, there he is. People are pointing everywhere. You know, Hamil got baptized, and in the first month and a half of being a Christian, he read the entire New Testament. You know, and those are the types of things that we need to do is immerse yourself in the Word of God. I want to read it. I want to get in there. I want to see what it says. We got to follow Hamil's example in that. Get in the Word of God. You know, prayer is a big part of it. Praying, right? Praying to mature. Write down Colossians 4:12. It talks about prayer being part of maturing. A sixth thing is enduring discipline. A big part of what matures us is being disciplined. God disciplines us. Hebrews 12:7-12. Go read it. It talks about God disciplines us as sons. And it says that we need to be, it says it produces a harvest of righteousness for those who are trained by it. And so God disciplines us. He challenges us. He convicts us. He humbles us. And we got to use those as opportunities to mature and to grow. And the last one I'll mention is perseverance. James 1:4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature, complete, and not lacking anything. And so when you're going through a trial, suffering, a hardship, instead of asking, why am I going through this, ask, what can I learn from this? Right? How can I become more mature through this? Right? And you persevere through it, and that's what helps you become more mature as a Christian. You know, is persevering through those hardships, enduring that discipline. So time and experience, eager ambition, going after learning from others, immersing yourself in the Word, prayer, enduring discipline, and perseverance are some spiritual training exercises that God gives us to help us to mature. You know, all of this is obviously a process, but it's one that we need to be purposeful about and intentional with and really acknowledge I'm a baby Christian, and that's okay. You got baptized recently, but it's not okay to stay immature.
Yeah.
That you need to mature for yourself, and the church needs you to mature so that we can grow more ourselves and also help reach this lost world. Maturity is what God is calling us to as disciples, to mature in our faith. So I want us to take some time after I'm done here, maybe talk with each other of, man, which one or two of these five marks of maturity do you need to focus on the most right now? And how's it going with some of these spiritual training exercises? Are there some that are going well? Maybe what's one that's going really well? And maybe what's one that you want to start to work on practicing more in your life that you haven't really been making use of? But it's important for us to recognize where we're at and decide, I'm going to be determined to grow and to mature in my faith. Guys, it's awesome to be part of this ministry with you guys. I know that God has incredible things in store for us. I also know we're not going to see it if we don't mature. If you don't mature, we won't see certain things God wants to do. And going back to the first verse I read, if you don't mature, your faith is going to get choked out. Maturing is a really big and important part of being a Christian and staying a Christian and honoring God and doing great things for Him with our life. So guys, let's move on to maturity. Amen? Thank you, guys.